We're going to learn Sukkah Daf Lamed Daled. We're going to start from the next Mishnah, 8 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. And today we're going to learn the Halachas and the Mishnah of Arava. We know that the Arba Minim, the four species, we take an Esrog, a Lulav, Hadassim, and Aravas. Let's learn about the Arava. Arava, Gezula, a stolen Arava, V'yaveisho, or if it's dried, Psula is Pasul. And the reason that a stolen arava is pasul is because the pasuk says it needs to be lochem, it needs to be yours, and that includes the aravas. V'shel asheira v'shel ir hanidachas. If this arava was actually used, was from a tree of avodah zara, or from an ir hanidachas, from a city that everything in it has to be burnt, then in that case also psula is pasul, and we've already learned this when we learned about the lulav. Nikdam Reisha, if the top of the arava is cut off, Nifritzu Aleha, or if most of its leaves are torn off, V'hatzavtzafa, or a type of arava called tzavtzafa, which we're going to learn about in the Gemara, Psula they are posel. K'musha, if the arava has become withered, V'shenoshu Miktas Aleha, or just a minority of its leaves had fallen off, V'shel Baal, or if it grows in a field that suffices with rainwater and doesn't need to be irrigated in any way, Ksheira, those aravas are kosher. Says the Gemara Ton Rabbonon, we learnt in a Braisa. When the Pasuk refers to the arava, the Pasuk calls the arava Arvei Nachal. Says the Braisa, when we see from Arvei Nachal, which is aravas that grow by a Nachal, by a stream, so Hagdelim ala Nachal. So the first Tana in the Braisa says that Arvei Nachal teaches us that aravas should be grown, and at least it's a lekatchila, if they are grown on a stream. Davar Achir, another opinion in the Braisa, Arvei Nachal, She'ala Shelo Moshuch Kanachal, the reason that the Torah associates the aravos with a stream is to teach us the shape of the leaves. The shapes of the leaves should be Moshuch, they should be long like a stream. Tanya Idoch in another Braisa we learned, Arvei Nachal. From the words Arvei Nachal, Ein li elu Arvei Nachal. I may have thought that you have to take an arava that grew from a tree that was by a stream, and any other type of arava would be possible. So how do we, and that is the mitzvah, lekatchila one should do that, but how do you know that shel baal v'shel horim, that aravas that are grown in a field that doesn't need to be irrigated and is not by a stream and on the mountains, that these aravas, excluding the tzavtzafa, which is different, we'll learn about soon. Minayin, how do you know that aravas that do not actually grow by a stream are also kosher? Talmud Lomar says in the Pasuk, Arvei is a plural to teach us that there's many types of aravis. Nachal is just the preferred way. The preferred arava to use is the one that grows on the water. But if not to exclude any type of arava that does not grow by the water, and we learn that from the Arvei Nachal in plural, Mikol Mokim, any type of arava. Abba Shaul holds in the Braisa that from the word Arvei in plural, we learn something else. We don't learn there to tell us that aravas of Ebal and Horim, that aravas that grow in fields that are not by a stream, are kosher. No, we learn something else from there. We learn that for the number of aravas that we need to take, Arvei Shtayim, Arvei in plural tells us that you need to take two aravas. Achas lelulav, once we use aravas that abound with the lulav, achas lemigdosh, and we use aravas, which we're going to learn about extensively later on Daf Memhei, that they would go around the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash with an arava. And that's why it says Arvei, because aravas are used on Sukkos for two mitzvahs, mitzvahs lulav and the mitzvah of the Hakofa going around the Mizbeach. Asks the Gemara of Rabbonon, and according to the Tanakam of the Braisa, that learn from Arvei that even Shel Baal v'Shel Horim is kosher, L'Migdosh Minoluhu, how do they know that there's a mitzvah to go round the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdosh with an Arava? Answers the Gemara, Hilchas Gemirilu, it's actually Halocha L'Moshe Misinai. D'Omer Rabasi, Omer B'Yechanon, there are three halachas that are learnt that are halacha l'Moshe Misinai, and they were taught in the following order. The first one is Eser Netiyos, which we're not going to go into at great length now what this is. It's a halacha in Hilchos Shmita that a field that is 50 amos by 50 amos, it's a square field of 2,500 square amos, And in it, you've got evenly spread out 10 natiyas, 10 young trees. We assume that the trees, they get their nourishment equally from the entire field, and there's halachic ramifications regarding plowing that field before the onset of Shemitah. We're going to learn about this elsewhere. We're not going to go into this now. The second halacha they were learnt was Arava. The halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that there's a mitzvah of Arava. And it cannot be talking about the Arava in the Lulav, because I don't need halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai for that. It's an explicit posuk. V'lokachtem lachem bayim orishen priyetz hodo kapis tmorim v'nafitz ovois v'arvi nachal. So Arava, which is halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, must be teaching us a different Arava, the Arava with which they went round the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. And the third halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai we learned was v'nisuch hamayim, the fact that even though every day when the korban tomid shel shachar was brought, they would pour wine with the korban tomid. However, over Sukkos, they would actually also pour water called nisuch hamayim, and we're going to learn about this later on in the Masechta. And these three are halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. So you see, Rabbi Yochanan said that Arava, the mitzvah of going round the Mizbeach, with Arava is halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, so it was not necessary for the Tanakhama to learn it from the words Arvei in plural, and they learn from Arvei that Shelbal and Shelhorim are kosher. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, we're now going to learn about the Tzavtza for Arava that the Mishnah said was possible. Says the Gemara, Arvei Nachal, Hagdeilois ala Nachal, that Aravas have to be those that grow by a stream. Prat letzivtzefa agdelo beinahorim. This excludes a tzavtzefa, which is a type of arava that grows exclusively on the mountains and not by the water, that it's possible. And even though we saw before that shelhorim is kosher, we learn it out from Arvei, but that's talking about all other regular types of aravas, just they happen not to grow by a stream. They grow on the mountains. A tziftzefa is a different type of arava, which also grows amongst in the mountains, and that's a different type of arava, and it's possible. Omer Rav Zeira Maikra, Rav Zeira asked, well, where would you see in the pasuk that tziftzefa is excluded from all the others? We already saw before. You've got the best type of arava, which is the one that grows on the stream. You've got any other type of arava, shelbal v'shel horim, which are also kosher, as it says, arvei nachal. Why would we exclude the tziftzefa? Why would the tziftzefa not be included in arvei nachal? Answers the Gemara. Kach al mayim rabim tziftzefa somoy. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel. Hashem was saying that instead of taking the al mayim rabim, instead of being like an arava which grows on water, on fresh water, tziftzefa somoy, instead of that, they became the antithesis of that, the opposite of an arava, the extreme non-arava, which is called a tziftzefa. So you see in this pasuk that the tziftzefa is the example of the non-arava. And since you see that in this pasuk, therefore we assume that this arava is excluded and is possible. Omale Abaya asked, Dilma Prusha Komafarish, maybe when the pasuk says tziftzefa, tzavtzefa, it means that it's the definition of ma'alkach al-mayim rabim. That koch al-mayim rabim, you should take the arava that grows on much water. Umay knew, what is that? Tzavtzofa, it's the tzavtzofa. Who told you that tzavtzofa somoy means that it's the not kach al mayim rabim? That's what Abaya asked Rav Zeira. Answers the Gemara, Rav Zeira answered Abaya, im kein, my somoy. The word somoy means that instead of koch al mayim rabim, it was tzavtzofa somoy, they were compared to, we'll soon see, or they will take the tzavtzofa. It would become a tzavtzefa. What if it was just, if tzavtzefa was just another word, another name for the koch al mayim rabim, it wouldn't need somoy, as if to say this was placed in their place. So from the fact that it says somoy, you see that it's instead of koch al mayim rabim, it was tzavtzefa. So you see tzavtzefa is a non-arova. Says the Gemara, Omer Avavor, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bavo is explaining this pasuk in Yecheskel. Hashem said, Ani Omarti, I said Hashem, Shei Yisroel Lefonai, that Klal Yisrael should be before me, Kekoch Al Mayim Rabim, like fresh arovas that grow by a stream. Umay new arova, that's the arova. Vahein somu atzmon, but instead of doing that, they just became the opposite of that. Kutzav sofo shebahorim, they became the extreme antithesis of a healthy, strong arava. They became like a tzavtzofo. So you see from Rav Avohu's explanation, the way he learned the pasuk is also like we saw before, like Reb Zeira answered to Abaya, that from the tzavtzofo somu we see that it's what happened when it was a non koch al mayim rabim. Because we started five lines from the top of the Amud here, with the Braisa says that Arve Nachal is G'deilu Yisal HaNachal. Ex prat le tzavtzofo, to exclude the tzavtzofo G'deilu Bein Horim. And then we saw in the Gemara, Zera brought a pos, asked my kro, and there was brought the posuk in Yecheskel. Abaya asked a question on it, that maybe the posuk can be learned differently, and Reb Zeira answered. But now in this version of the Gemara, the Braisa itself brings this posuk, and then it's Reb Zeira who asks the question, and anonymous, there's an answer, the same answer we saw before, but without a title, without a name, we don't know who answered it. Ikudamasni lalaha. Lahai, some learn what we just learned now, Lahai Kro, this pasuk, Amasnita, on the very Braisa. That the Braisa that says, Arve Nachal, Agdeilis ala Nachal, Prat le Tzavtzofa, Agdeilo Bein Ahorim, that the Braisa itself brings the pasuk of Koch al Maim Rabim, Tzavtzofa Somoy. And Maskiflor Reb Zeira, Reb Zeira is asking a question before it was Abaya asking against Reb Zeira, because Reb Zeira brought the posuk. In this version, Reb Zeira is asking the question, V'dilma Purusha Komefarish. Maybe the posuk, when it says Tzavtzofa Somoy, is an explanation on the words Koch al Maim Rabim, that Koch al Maim Rabim, Mainihu, what grows al Maim Rabim Tzavtzofa? And then obviously the Tzavtzofa would be kosher. And the Gemara answers, we don't know who said this, Imkein Mai Somoy. Like we saw before, that from the word somo, you see that the tzavtzofa was the non-arova, the non-koch al mayim rabim. And again, the Gemara brings up, Rav Avohu, Omer, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ani Omarti, Sheyu Yisrael Lefonai, Kokoch al mayim rabim. I asked Klal Yisrael to be like a fresh, strong arova that grows on a stream, Umayinu arova, that's the arova, Vehein somu atzmon, and they placed themselves, they became, instead of that, Kutzavtzofa Shabahorim, like a weak type of arova that grows only in the mountains. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon, Eizehu arova. How would you typically see it define an arova? Ve'ezu tzavtzofa. And what would be the signs that the branch that you have, the leaves that you have, are from a tzavtzofa? Says the Braisa, arova, there's three signs. A typical arova is kono shelo edoim, the stem is red. Ve'alo shelo moshuch. And the leaves are long, or pia, and the edge of the leaves, cholok is smooth. That's a typical arova. Tzavtzofa, however, tzavtzofa is all three of these are the opposite. Kono shelo lovon, the stem is white. Ve'alo shelo ogul, the leaves are rounded. Pia doime lemagol, and the edge of the leaves, they're not smooth, they are just jagged, and they have similar to the teeth of a sickle. And that is a tzavtzofa, which is posel. Asks the Gemara of Otanya Doime Lemagol Kosher. We learnt in another Braisa that if the edge of the Arova has teeth like a sickle, it's kosher. And only Doime Lemeser, only if the teeth are like a saw, only then it's possible. The teeth of a saw go, they are very vertical. They have two edges on each tooth. And that's like the teeth of a saw. The teeth of a sickle that is actually bent over and it only has a point facing one direction. And so the doime lemaser, like a saw, only there is posel. So we have a contradiction. First you say that a tzavtzofa is posel because the teeth are similar to the teeth of a magol, of a sickle, and you have another braisa that says that doime lemagol is kosher. Omer Abaye Kitanyahi, when do we say that an arava whose teeth, who the edges is jagged like the teeth of a magol, of a sickle, that it's kosher, is talking about a chilfa gila, a specific type of arava called a chilfa gila, where there, all the other signs of the arava was there. The stem is red, and the leaves are long and not rounded. It's just that the edges are jagged, are not completely smooth. We say that, providing that it's like a magol, then it's kosher. Omer Abaya says that from Shema Mino we see from here that Hay Chilfa Gila, this Arova, which is Chilfa Gila, that has two of the signs of the Arova, just one of them not is kosher, Loishano is kosher to be used in the Lulav. Says the Gemara Pshita. Well, what's the chiddush? Why shouldn't it be kosher? It's an arava. Says the Gemara, no. Now the Tema, I may have thought, Hoil v'isle shem levai, loinis kasher, since it's not called an arava, it's got a different name. It's got an extension to its name. It's called chilfa gilo, it's not called arava. And I may have thought, since it's not called arava, it's not called arvei nachal, it's not what the Torah meant. Komash malon. So that's what the chiddush of Abaye was, no. That in spite of the fact that it's not called arvei nachal, it's called chilfa gilo, it's kasher. Asks the Gemara, v'im hochanami. You're right, maybe it shouldn't be kosher. Who told Abaye that it was kosher? Answers the Gemara. We saw before, Arvei Nachal, from the fact that it says Arvei in plural tenses, to tell us, Omar Achmona, the Pasuk, is telling us, Mikol Mokim, any Arava is kosher, even if it's got a Shem Levai, even if it's got an extension, it's got a different name, it's still kosher. The Tzavtzafo, which is we saw from the Pasuk in Yecheskel, is the extreme non-Arava, that's excluded from Arava, but everything else, any other type of Arava, is kosher. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Chizda, Hanetlas Mili, the following three things, Ishtanu Shemayu, their names were changed and almost reversed, Michichorav Beis HaMikdosh, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh. Chilfasa, and this is not the Chilfa Gila, which is kosher, this is referring to the Tzavtzafa. The Tzavtzafa that was called Chilfasa, and Aravta, and your typical Arava, the Chilfasa, what was a Tzavtzasa, a Tzavtzafa, is now called Arava, and Aravta, Chilfa. And what was called an Arava is now called Chilfa. And they, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh, their names got switched. My Nafgamina. And it's important for us to remember that. Lululav, because you have to know that what was once called Lulav is, what was once called Arava for the Lulav is now kosher. Even today it's called Chilfasa. What was once called Chilfasa, which is the Tzavtzafa, you have to remember it's possible, even though today it's called Arava. That was one of the three things that Rav Chisda said, changed their name, switched their name after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh. There's another one, Shipura and Chatzaitzra. We know that a shofar is typically comes from a ram. A shofar is bent, it's curved, it's not straight. In contrast to a Chatzaitzra, which we would call a trumpet, which doesn't come from a ram and is straight. So after the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, the names got switched. What was a shofar is now called Chatzaitzra, and what was Chatzaitzra is now called shofra. My nafkumina. And the halachic ramification of that is l'shofar sh'Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, there's a mitzvah to blow a shofar, not a chatzaitzra. You have to know what we're talking about. So you have to know that we're talking about the original shofar, even though today it's called chatzaitzra. And the third thing, it says of Chizda, after the Beis HaMikdash was changed, p'soyrta, p'soyra, p'soyra, p'soyrta, one is a big table, one's a small table. They changed their name. The name that used to be used for a big table is now used for a small table, and vice versa. L'may nafkumine, l'mekach u'memkar, you have to know, for mekach u'memkar. When you make a sale, you have to know, what did you mean? Did you mean a big table? Did you mean a small table? So it's very important to know exactly what we're referring to. And obviously it's referring to a place where there were some people who would still call a small table by the name that it was originally called, a small table, or a big table by its original name, but everybody else called it by their new name. Then you have to know if enough people, and the Achronim here discuss exactly all the details, but it's important for a person to know what is the general, what's considered a big table and a small table in the way people speak, in order to understand what the contract was and what the sale included. Continues the Gemara, Omar Abaya. Abaya added another thing. Rav Chisda said there were three things that switched their name after the Churban Beis HaMikdosh. Abaya said, Afani Oimer, there's a fourth one. Beikasi and Huvlila. Beikasi is one of the stomachs of a kosher animal, and Huvlila is a different part of the animal. And they switched their name, that what used to be Beikasa is called Huvlila, and Huvlila is Beikasa. L'may nafkumina, what's the difference, what you call this stomach of the animal? Says the Gemara, L'machat hanimtza ba'ovi Beis HaKoseis. That these Beis HaKoseis, is this Beikasi, is this specific stomach that used to be called Beikasi. What was unique about it is that the walls of this particular stomach was thicker. And therefore, if you find a needle in the stomach, in the wall of the stomach of an animal that did not penetrate right through, if a needle penetrated from side to side, then it's always possible. It's always treif. If, however, it just made a hole in part of the thickness of the wall, then the Beikasi, which had a thicker wall of the stomach, then the animal is not treif, it's still okay. However, with the hovlila, the walls of the hovlila are not so thick as with the other parts of the animal, and therefore if a needle made a hole in just part of the thickness of the wall, it's already treif. So it's important to know that the part of the animal which has the thicker wall is the original beikasi that today is called hovlila. Omar Rava Bar Yosef, Rava Bar Yosef says, Afani Omer, there's another thing, a fifth thing, which switched its name after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and that is Bovel and Bursif. Bursif is a place near Bovel. Bovel is Babylonian, and Bovel got the name of Bursif, and Bursif was called Bovel. L'may nafkemina, what halachic ramifications are there? Who cares whether you call it this or you call it that? Answers the Gemara, nafkemina legitei nashim. And again, we're not going to discuss this at length here. We're going to discuss this in the first perek of Maseches Gittin in Mitzvah Hashem. But there's halachas where Bovel, because the people in Bovel were Talmidei Chachomim, were Bnei Torah, and therefore they shared certain halachas with the people in Eretz Yisrael, in contrast to the rest of the world that were not so knowledgeable in all the halachas of Gittin, and therefore there were different halachas that applied. And you have to know that the only place where the halachas similar to Eretz Yisrael applied was in the original Bovel, where the people there were Talmidei Chachomim and Bnei Torah. However, this other place called Bursif, that today is called Bovel, is not called Bovel, and therefore those halachas do not apply there. Says the next Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, and now we're going to learn a general halacha about the hadasim, about the arba minim, the hadasim and the aravos. And okay, well, let's learn this in the next Mishnah before we come to learn about the estrog. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Shloisha hadasim moshtei aravos, luluv echod ve'estrog echod. Rabbi Shmuel says, and that's what we actually do, so what we all practice is we have three hadasim, two aravos, one luluv, and one estrog. And Rabbi Shmuel says that afilu shnaim ktumim ve'echod einei kotum, and the Gemara is going to say, why would this be true? But Rabbi Shmuel here, in this part of Rabbi Shmuel, says that two of the three hadasim that he mentioned were allowed to be cut off, the chopped off the tops of the hadasim, and it's still kosher as long as one of them is not chopped off. And the Gemara is going to ask, make up your mind. If you need three hadasim, either all three need to have hador, need to be beautiful and mustn't be cut off, or all three of them do not need to be hador. But to say that two don't need to be hador and one needs to be hador, that wouldn't make any sense. And the Gemara actually answers that Rabbi Shmuel in his opening statement said three hadasim, but the time he came to his closing statement, he changed his mind and he actually held you only need one hadas and it needs to be hador. So he says that three hadasim that I mentioned, the truth is two of them you can forget about. You don't need them, and if you have them, they can be chopped off. There's no halachas there. It's as if they're not here. But make sure you have one hadas, which is hador, which is not chopped off, because Rabbi Shmuel changed his mind. Rabbi Tarfon Oimer. Rabbi Tarfon says, afilu shloshtam ktumim. Rabbi Tarfon says, you need three hadasim, but we don't need them to be hador. And therefore, even if all three of them are chopped off, it's kosher. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Rabbi Akiva says that kishem shelulav echod ve'estrog echod kachas that's echod varov echas. Rabbi Akiva actually says that you need only one of each of the four minim, lulav estrog hadasim and rova, one of each. Says the Gemara Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, we learned in a brisa, pre-eats hador and estrog ach echod, only one. Kapois tomorim, but kapois is not written in the Torah in the Chumash with a vav. It's written without a vav, as if it says kapas tomorim. Echod. It's just one. Kapas is a single branch. Kapois is a number of branches. It says, it's written as kapas to tell us you only have one luluf. Anaf eitz ovis, three words. Anaf eitz ovis, shloisha is for three hadasim. Arvei nachal is shtaim, is two aravos. Afilu shtaim, now is going back to the hadas, says the Braisa, regarding the hadasim. Afilu shnaim ktumim, ve'echod she'enei kotum, even if two of them are chopped off and one of them isn't, it's still kosher. And this is going back to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Tarfon Oimer, Rabbi Tarfon says, Shloisha v'afilu shloshtam ktumim, and we already saw this in our Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, k'shem shelulav echod v'estrog echod kachadas echod varov achas. Omer lo Rabbi Eliezer, the Braisa continues that Rabbi Eliezer said that yochil yehi esrog imoim ba'aguda. Okay, we all agree you need lulav esrog hadasim and aravos. What would be your source that you don't need to tie the esrog with the lulav and the Hadassah and Arovas together. We know that the Esrog is in one hand and the Lulav, Hadassah and Arovas tied together in the other hand. Who says that you don't tie the Esrog with the other three Minim? Omras V'chinem are Pri'etz Hodor V'kapis Tomorim. If the Pasuk would say, take an Esrog called Pri'etz Hodor V and Kapis Tomorim the Lulav, then I would hear what you're saying. Put them all together. Haloiloi ne'emar elo kapois. It says, v'lekachtem lechem b'yeim marishin, pri'etz hodor, take an estrog. And then it says, kapois tomorim, take a lulav, v'anafetzovis, v'arvinachal, with the two vavs, meaning and, including, when take the lulav with that dust and with our avos, tie them together. Not with the estrog. U'minayin shema akvin zezeh. How do you know that you have to take all four? And if you only have three species, it's as if you have none. Talmud Leima, it says, ulekachtem, you should take. Shatei lekichot tamo, the word ulekachtem can be split into two, like v'lokach, from the term lekichot, to take. Tam is a whole. Take a complete taking of all four. Only if all four, if you take all four, it's kosher, otherwise not. Asks the Gemara of Rabbi Shmuel, Manavshach, we saw in the Mishnah and in the Braisa that according to Rabbi Shmuel, he starts off saying that you take three adasim, but then he says two of them can be chopped off. Manavshach, make up your mind. Ish lemin boya, if they need to be whole, if you say hodor applies also to the adasim, libalu namikulu, then all three of them should be whole. Iloi boya shlemin, if they don't need to be whole, afilachad namiloi, then even one of them can be chopped off. Like Rabbi Tarfon indeed says, that afilash lashtam ktumim. Omar Biro. So this Chacham called Birah said, Omar Rabbi Ami, in the name of Rabbi Ami, Chaza boy Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel changed his mind and held you only need one Hadas, and therefore the other two, it doesn't matter what state they're in, just make sure you have one Hadas, which is not chopped off, which is not cut, or cut off the top, and is Sholim. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yudama Shmuel. Shmuel said, Halacha k'Rab Tarfin. Halacha is like Rab Tarfin, that you need three Hadasim, but you don't need Hador. All three of them can be cut off. And you'll see that Shmuel is following his own reasoning, where we'll find elsewhere that Shmuel followed Rab Tarfon. Shmuel said to the people that were selling Adasim, Ashvu Uzvinu, make sure that you keep the prices very balanced and stable, and then sell the Hadasim. But if you're going to ask for exorbitant prices, you're going to raise the prices, the price of the Hadasim, because you know, people are going to come to you and say, we need three adasim, and they have to be, mustn't be kotum, we want them all to be whole, and it's a mitzvah, it's a hidur mitzvah, that you should have three adasim that are not chopped off. And you're going to take advantage of the people, and you're going to take high prices. Then I'm going to tell everybody, don't forget that the halacha is like Rab Tarfon, that says that these three adasim can be chopped off. My times. The Gemara says, why did Shmuel threaten the sellers of the Hadasim that he'll tell everybody that Halach is like Rab Tarfon? Is it just because Rab Tarfon is Makel that the Hadasim can be chopped off? Why doesn't he threaten them? They'll tell everybody that the Halach is like Rab Akiva, the Makel Tfei, who's even more Makel, because he says you only need one Hadas. Says the Gemara, no, because it's a bigger threat to follow Rab Tarfon, that it's a bigger threat for the people selling the Adasim to follow Rab Tarfon than to follow Rab Akiva. Because Tzlasa Ktumi Shchicha, it's easier to find three Adasim that are cut off than Chad V'loi Kotim, than to find one Hadas that's whole, that's not cut off from the top. And therefore, in order to threaten the sellers of the Adasim, I would tell them, be careful, otherwise I'll tell everybody that Loch is like Rab Tarfon. And he didn't threaten them with Rab Akiva, because that would have been less of a threat. Because it's harder to find a single Hadas that is not going to be chopped off. And if you tell everyone that Loch is like Rab Akiva, they could still take a very high price for that one Hadas that has to be whole. And therefore, he'll tell everybody that you can we hold like Rab Tarfon, and it's very easy to find those Hadasim, and nobody will be able to raise the prices. It's very challenging to find even just a single Hadas that's not Kotum, that's not cut off on the top. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to learn about Esrog.